Hello, I'm Chris.
And I'm Will.
And we are creative directors of Studio Drama, and this is Untalented Podcast with Canva and Unknown.
Please, can you explain to me what you do, but imagine that I'm a 10-year-old.
I'd say to a 10-year-old, we create alphabets for companies and try and make them as memorable as possible.
And those companies are companies you normally recognize, like Heinz, and what you'd see on written on a ketchup bottle might be those letters that we have drawn.
What's something that's helped you move faster in your careers?
Passion, working hard. Collaborating as well is really important, I think.
Networking, speaking to people, being active on LinkedIn
at the right time.
We've had LinkedIn a lot today. Oh, really? I think people are like feeling the true power of LinkedIn now, right?
Because it pays off after a lot of grind. Maybe at the beginning it does pay off.
Please, can you tell us what a top earner in your industry can expect to earn?
Within our micro industry, that is typeface design, within branding, perhaps up to £150,000 a year. Maybe more. It's obviously dependent on if you go and work for a business or if you run your own business, where the ceiling might be higher if you run your own business. But that's definitely a long-term game.
What led you to establish Studio Drama?
So I think we both very much had a passion for typography and type design in our careers before. So we were both brand designers first before we started Studio Drama, which is what we describe as a brand-led type foundry. So yeah, typography was definitely like a red thread throughout all the branding projects that we'd work on. And that was really the beginning and like the seed that was sown when we used to work together previously to then start Studio Drama, really.
And I think like all good businesses, they start from seeing your boss do it and thinking that we can do it better.
That's such a good driver, isn't it? Like, oh, if you can do that, then surely I can. And how do you think your individual strengths complement each other in your collaborations?
I think those strengths we perhaps polarized more over the years. We knew that we brought different things to the business as a pair. I think it's a very hard business to go into on your own. I think running any business on your own is really difficult. So we lean on each other a lot. Chris deals with more creative aspects. I deal with the more business aspects very broadly.
Yeah, I think where I used to work before as well was like a lot more of a creative practice, whereas we'll freelance a lot more and worked in larger design agencies. Mm. So we had very different backgrounds in terms of our approach creatively as well, which really helped, I think, set up Studio Drama. But yeah, it's definitely the more we work together, the longer Studio Drama exists, the more clearly defined those roles are becoming, which I think is really great for a business of our size.
It's cool to be able to grow into them, like more authentically as well, rather than having them sort of paved for you.
Yeah, for sure. Especially when it's just both of us at the beginning. We were obviously wearing all the hats, but now that we have a team, we can actually start to understand what our roles are more and more day by day, which is really, really important.
And we both started out as designers, so we're both in the same role. None of us had ever been an account manager, none of us had ever been a finance director, any of these roles that we now have to play.
But we definitely still wear a few hats a day still.
Yes,
you'll find me cleaning the studio every now and then as well. So,
and Will from LinkedIn. Leading the LinkedIn charge. Please, can you share a project that encapsulates your agency's ethos?
Vogue's probably a really good example.
Vogue's a good one. So that was probably our first project, or like the one that really defined us as an agency, I think. But we'd always wanted to, me personally always wanted to work with Vogue. So they dropped an email one day and were like, oh my God, Vogue's knocked on the door, can't believe it. And yeah, we created a sans and a serif custom typeface family for Vogue Brazil specifically. But it's a very small project, not very big budget, but we like to try and pack in as many things as we possibly can with the restrictions that are built around the project itself. And that one, yeah, we really went full on in terms of what the deliverables were in the end. But that got us in so many different doors, that project, for sure.
What drew you to Vogue? Why did you always want to work with them?
I have this passion for editorial design. Like, book design was a lot of what I used to do in my previous role, and just print design and typography. So I always had this passion for editorial design and magazine design. I don't know, it's just such an iconic brand and like into fashion, so it just made sense.
Talking about building and developing custom typefaces, how do you guys do that in a way that aligns with the brand's personality?
Well, I'd say that's definitely one of our superpowers because, as I mentioned previously, we came from a branding background and we always like to think about our projects very strategically. So we'll a lot of the time collaborate with other branding agencies and we'll come in and be the type expert and create the custom typeface alongside the brand identity piece. So we always like to make links, whether that through research, whether that's through a characteristic that exists within the logo already, for example, and try and create a thread between those two things. But we always like to collaborate on what those principles are to then understand where we need to go to as a team with that typeface project itself.
In your projects, I'm assuming that you often have to navigate the balance between client expectations and creative integrity. How do you do that? How do you face that?
One we talk about quite a lot.
Yeah. That's the toughest one. Yeah.
There's one that comes up quite a lot. Sometimes a client might want something to feel quite random, for example, or the typeface to feel super unique and all jumbled up and everything feels completely different. But when you actually create something like that, the reality...
They're scared of it.
Yeah, they're scared of it. They don't actually want something to be random. They want it to be quite controlled. So that's something that we talk about quite a lot. Very specific niche within that idea.
And there's also a certain educational aspect to building out typefaces, just because there's certain things that you sort of have to do for it to be legible. Mm-hmm. And sometimes clients tend to want to align everything. So everything should line up. Yeah. And we sometimes get screenshots with lines over things, but there's a reason it's optical. There's a reason that it looks like this, and we have to explain that sometimes.
If you had to pick a holy grail font, what would it be? And it can't be a custom one.
John, I'll say it just because it's controversial, but Comic Sans, is, and I'm not saying it just for the sake of it, is very distinctive in its own right. And, you know, at one point that could have been, you know, a custom typeface for a brand, and albeit it does break many rules and is largely sort of mocked and hated, it is memorable. Everyone knows it. Even my mum knows it. So I think that's winning in one way or another. So there is that. I give it its props.
I did not expect you to say that.
Yeah.
Wow. I've learned something new today. My answer, I was probably going to go for the more like, the passionate answer. Okay. I was going to go for the typeface Clarendon. Or actually, there's another cut that I prefer called Egizio, which is very similar, by an Italian foundry called Nebbiolo. I'd say we both have a bit of a passion for slab serif typefaces, and that really started how our brand actually looks typographically as well. So our logo is a slab serif. We have a custom typeface in the house, which is a slab serif as well. So my answer would be Clarendon or Egizio, just because we are very fond of that classification and that typeface itself.
What would be the slogan to your life?
Don't borrow a voice, build your own.
And then a final question, I've been loving asking people because it's brought some funny answers. What is the most unhinged, weirdest, bizarrest thing that you've asked ChatGPT?
So serious, aren't we?
Other than write this email better, which is pretty much my task every 5 seconds.
No, I think better, so. I'm actually really like kind to ChatGPT, whereas Will is not so
I'm a
kind,
bit more,
so.
I order it.
I'm a
please and thank you. You never know.
I know, it's true.
Because when it enslaves the earth and all that stuff,
exactly.
It will remember. So.